8, a second sword. If he was dead, then death was nothing like as bad as he had expected, Arthur thought. It was so peaceful, no shouting, no fighting, and no decisions to make. But slowly the blackness turned into Merlin's eyes and robes, and Arthur found himself lying under a blanket on a soft bed of bracken. A fire crackled nearby, and on the other side of the fire stood Merlin gazing down at him. "Where am I?" asked Arthur. "Somewhere safe," Merlin replied. Arthur tried to sit up, but it made his head hurt so much that he fell back with a cry. "You're lucky not to have lost your brains," Merlin told him. "Single combat with Lord Pellinore, indeed. How could you be so foolish?" "I'd forgotten about the fight," said Arthur. "What happened?" "Pellinore kicked you as he fell," said Merlin, pouring liquid from a leather bottle into a small cup. "When he got up, he laid his sword at your feet and swore loyalty to you. He said you were so brave he'd rather fight by your side than against you. He called you Pendragon, Dragon's Head, because of your courage."
"Donkey's Head would be more like it," Merlin handed the cup to Arthur. "Drink this in one swallow."
It tasted so sour that Arthur's eyes watered, but the pain in his head vanished almost at once. "Did I just drink magic?" he said.
"No, medicine," said Merlin. "But it's time for magic. Your sword was broken. Britain cannot have a king without a sword. You must get another."
The enchanter pointed to the sky. Arthur looked up and saw the full moon. "Come with me," Merlin said. They walked between trees until they came to the shore of a lake. Moonlight made the water shine white. A boat appeared bearing three maidens who wore robes as white as the moon. The boat came to rest where Merlin and Arthur stood. Merlin stepped in and told Arthur to follow. Once he was on board, the boat glided towards the centre of the lake. It had no sails or oars and didn't rock like other boats Arthur had been in. He knew that it was moved by magic, and the hair on the back of his neck prickled. No one spoke until the boat came to a standstill. Then Merlin said, "Look!" Something was happening to the light on the water around them. It grew brighter, and as it brightened, Arthur saw a sword, the colour of moonlight, rise out of the lake beside the boat. The sword was held by a hand that came straight up out of the shining water. "Take it," said Merlin. Arthur's heart punched against his ribs. He reached out with shaking fingers. As soon as he gripped the hilt, the hand in the water slid underneath the surface without a ripple. It felt as though he were holding moonlight and magic in his hand. "Is it really mine?" he whispered. "The sword's name is Excalibur," said Merlin. "For a time it will be yours, though there will come a day when you'll have to give it back. Until then, its power is joined with yours." By the time the boat returned to the lake shore, Arthur could hardly keep his eyes open. He stumbled towards a distant campfire gleaming through the trees. "When you wake, it will seem as though you dreamed all this," said Merlin. "But Excalibur will be your side." "Yes," mumbled Arthur. He didn't understand what had happened or what was happening. All he understood was sleep. And when he reached his bracken bed, he almost collapsed onto it. "Nothing's ever finished, he heard Merlin say. "Remember, just when you think things have come to an end, they will only be the beginning."
"Of course," Arthur murmured.
"Anything you say, Merlin." And then sleep took him.